Blog Talk Radio.
Check it out, y'all. And I wanna give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why's the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now.
Always
if you're a survivor, get up.
Let's get it.
Ours. I know it is for me. I have lived underneath, beneath,
my privileges long enough. Christ came to this earth, died, went through so much hell that we may have life, and so many of us is not experiencing that. I just want to, first of all, thank you for joining us tonight for another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. And I just want to thank everybody for your time. Just bear with me. I'm doing about three or four things here at one time. Before I get into the show, I do want to pay homage to some people that have been supporting the show for a good while. I thought tonight would be an excellent time to just share a little light on a few of the people that have really followed the show, supported the show, have asked me different things like what can they do to be a blessing more. And many of y'all hadn't got back yet, too, but trust me, I will. But a few of you, I just want to go ahead and do a shout-out to Shannon, better known as Kingdom, and I Am Pick, and just different people that have helped out Fortune 500, Brother Joseph Johnson, Bar Solutions, Victim to Victoria, several people that just always are there supporting, and, you know, have a heart to even help more. I just want to thank y'all. And as a matter of fact, at this moment, I want to do something. I want to go ahead and this is going to be our first, what do you call it? This would be one of the first word from our sponsors I'm going to actually play now. And this this is a sister that, like I said, has just been there for us. I'll let her talk a little bit more about this in her advertisement here. So here's a word from our sponsor. Y'all check this out. Okay?
Shalom, my name is Kingdom. I am a Shalom, my name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening.
Let's start that again. I'm sure she deserved better, and you deserve better, okay? Let's do that again.
Shalom, my name is Kingdom. I am a website designer. And I want to thank you for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S.com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people. And we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
And that is so true. And I want to thank her for that little support there, because this message is universal. It is so much bigger than just the United States. And it's so much bigger than, as a lot of people like to trivialize it down to, just a bunch of people trying to prove the fact that Christ was black. This message is so vital to what's going on, even in our current, with current events right now happening. And so we'll talk about that in a minute, but before we do, again, folks, we at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. This is our page, our front page. Please go here sometime and visit, comment, follow the show. It's very important you follow the show. When we say follow the show, we mean click on reminder and enter your information. It can be a reminder to your cell phone, or it can be a reminder to your email. This is how we stay in contact with you. If you like the show, as you say, so many of you say, show it, prove it by simply following the show. How easy is it to just simply click on follow and just enter your information there? Plus, not to mention, you won't miss the show because you have these reminders, okay? So, and visit the library, that link that's to the right of my profile picture. Please visit the library. I can never cover the kind of information that's in that library. I have books on every single one of these five topics that we call five smooth stones. I have books on every single one of these topics. Professional, scholarly advice supporting the things we've been talking about over the last 5 months, okay? So, folks, tonight we have a very, I'm not going to even say important show, I say it every week, don't I? We have a show tonight. I won't use the word very important. I'm going to call it interesting. We say that a lot. I'm going to say tonight's show is a must. This show is a must. This is just one of those shows that we're just going to call it a must here, because we're talking about current events, and while we're not going to get deep into the political aspect of things that's happened today in the White House, Congress, Capitol Hill, even international news, I'm going to just make some general statements. The first of which I'm going to make, well, I'll tell you what, before we do that, let's just go ahead and invite the Most High to our talk tonight. Nothing can be built unless He built it. Bible says it like this, that except the Most High builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. So we've got to invite Him to our affairs. And so if you're serious as much as I am, be at this time of night talking about this, I'm sure you'll be serious enough to understand the importance of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this day. I want to thank You for just having the mind to come to You and ask for Your wisdom. We ask You for Your wisdom and guidance tonight as we talk about Your word, Your scriptures. Help us to see the light. Correct us where we need correcting. Direct us where we need directing. Father, we just ask that You would help us understand what's happening in our world and how the scriptures play into that, and then how we are to conduct ourselves accordingly for the salvaging of our families and our own selves and our friends and loved ones. Father, we ask that You give us wisdom and guidance as to what to do in these evil times we live in. We're very serious about tonight. We're very serious about these talks. We're very serious about these blogs. We know that a lot of these topics are not invited into Your church. So we're having to speak out on all of these different venues. We just ask You to bless this venue. The listeners, I ask a special blessing upon them, that You will look on their family and their friends and help them, give them encouragement, give them guidance. Strengthen their minds and spirits, their hearts. Encourage us to want to be closer to You and seek Your face more and more and more and know You more and more and more. These things we ask. In Your Son's name we pray, man. All right, folks. Just want to thank everybody again for your attendance, for stopping by. for your support. I mean it because I don't take people's time lightly. Okay? So, we need to, let me go another direction. Weekly we do this. Weekly on Sundays we talk about how do we know, what proof do we have that we are the true Israelites of the Bible. When I say we, I'm talking about so-called African Americans. Even that name had to be voted on because there was so much talk, confusion, protest over the official name of so-called Black America. And they voted for this name, African Americans, because these people don't have an identity. And just that in and of itself is prophetic. That in and of itself is prophetic. As many of you know, names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the true names of the Israelites thrown in the fiery furnace. One of the main things that happened to the Israelites whenever they went to captivity was a loss of their true identity. It's one of the things that happened in slavery. The slaves were stripped of their identity. So where am I going with this? Tonight we're going to shed light on Bible prophecies that make it very clear, crystal clear as a matter of fact, who the natural biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. And we're going to talk about why it matters and what does it have to do with today. The Most High, I'm going to say this one time, hopefully y'all heard me saying it 30 times. I'm going to say it one time, but hopefully you remember it 30 times. The Most High never, ever fell in love with Israel or loved Israel or defended Israel or protected Israel or promoted Israel for the sake of them being black or for the sake of them being dark-skinned or for the sake of however color they look. He is so much more bigger. Things are so much more important in dealing with Israel, his people, than just a mere color. Please, folks, do not join the bandwagon of thinking we just want to talk about how the Messiah was black. That's an insult to this tsunami of information that the Most High has released within the earth for the restoration of his people and the restoration of his planet. Scripture says it like this, that the rejection of if Israel rejects the Messiah, if through their rejection, I'm coming out of Romans, the book of Romans, out of their rejection of the Messiah, were the Gentiles engrafted in, how much more is it going to be when they no longer reject? So, Israel, as according to Romans 11, I'm coming out of Romans 11, Most High is not done with his people, folks. I'm telling y'all, y'all better understand that. All Bible prophecies, anytime you want to talk about end time events, anytime you want to talk about what is happening in our world, as far as this so-called end time, conversations always center around Israel. 144,000 in the book of Revelation. Who are they? Do y'all know? Have you done your homework? 144,000 is 12 tribes containing of 12,000. So 12,000 times 12 is 144,000. This is natural bloodline Israel that the Most High is going to do a work with in the latter days. Today's show, weekly, every week, every Sunday, we come all types of angles. We've talked about so many different ways to prove and to show and to enlighten how we know, how we have been shown who the true house of David is. Now, we know beyond a shadow of doubt about the spiritual Jew that once the Israelites begin to reject the Messiah, the Father turned to the Gentiles, and the rest of the world became a part of the commonwealth of Israel with the rejection of Yeshua, the Messiah. We understand that. Okay? So watch this, people. Pay attention. Please follow me today. You might want to get out your notepads, pens. I'm telling you, some of y'all might want to even record this or you have it so you can share it with your brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, on Sundays, have your people, have your family to tune in to Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones every single Sunday at 11:30. We're going to try to keep the time at 11:30. And we're going to deal with this every single Sunday. It gets repetitious for some of y'all. But I just feel like there are so, so many people. And even though you, some of y'all, like, well, it does make sense, but I just don't know. I don't know. Well, I think every week, because we've hit this so many different ways. I mean, we've hit this so many different ways. We talked about Deuteronomy 28. We talked about Leviticus 26. We talked about facial features. We've talked about scripture that talk about the physical characteristics. We're talking about even the spirit of our people, the spirit of Israel. We've talked about the Israelites. We've talked about just history, how the Jews came to be Jews. We're speaking of Khazaria and how the people that say they are Jews today come from the land of Khazaria. So much information pointing to that. It ain't even funny, including the Jews themselves saying out of their own mind, the so-called Jews, saying out of their own mouth, okay, their descendants being from Khazaria, which was a white I forget the exact date. I don't want to quote and be wrong. Some of y'all perfectionists out there. But anyway, these people, I want to say around, I'm not going to even guess at it. But anyway, there's lots of information on the net. It's just all types of information. So many documentaries on the ground, this thing funny. But so much information out there on this, including the Encyclopedia Judica. The so-called Jews, their encyclopedia talks about this. But anyway, Khazaria, a white nation turning to Judaism because they didn't want to be either Christians or Muslims, turned to Judaism, adopting that religion. The king did of Khazaria, then his people followed. So, and then later on, they just kind of owned it, began to just pretty much just feel like they own the religion, just like that spirit that still operates in a lot of Europeans, not all Europeans, okay, for sure. But a lot of them will take over stuff, and you never know that they that happened because they'll act like it's been theirs all along. It's a spirit of pirating is what I call it, where you just take something. It's like they come to America, you know, and says, we discovered America. And it's happening even to this very day, you know. It's just a spirit of pirating. The same thing, or imperialism, or it's kind of the spirit of greed, actually. But anyway, Israel never was a white nation. never was a white nation. And folks, this is so much more important than skin color. Y'all just got to bear with me. We have got to say skin color just to, for start. But we're going to go a whole lot deeper than skin color. Again, the Most High is not interested in what color you are. But we've got to tell the truth, because actually what the enemy is coming down with, the spirit of white supremacy, he have destroyed everything and anything that has to do with truth where so-called black people are concerned. And he have resurrected among the in the earth this lie, this ideology, these lies, patch of lies, the Ham sons, one of Noah's sons, Japheth was the father of the white race. Father of the black race was Ham, and the father of the in-between race was Shem, and the yellow. And so just a lot of misteachings and a lot of misinformation that gives gives credence to these lies and these false standards. So Brother Seth, Five Smooth Stones is here to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to break down these idols. And it's nothing more than idol worship, folks. And the Most High have declared that we're to worship him and no other. Okay, and so that's all we're doing tonight. But I want everybody to turn your Bibles to, please, Deuteronomy 28. Start there, and we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Y'all got to bear with me tonight. Today I had a kind of a rough day today, and I'm not feeling 100%. But I've been talking about this so long, I think I can do this with being 50%. I'm not 50%, but I could do it. Deuteronomy 28, if you don't mind. Please turn to Deuteronomy 28, and let's go to verse 46 quickly. Verse 46. Moses is speaking to the natural, biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is speaking to them. He is letting them know what is going to happen to them as a nation if they are obedient. And then he talks about what happens to them if they're disobedient. So Moses began to just share these scriptures with them, these prophecies, if you will. What is to happen to this nation if they're obedient, and what is to happen to this nation if they're disobedient. And so he begins to share. Listen to Deuteronomy 28 and 46, okay, those of you that have it. Listen to this. Verse 46 says, "And they shall be upon thee," speaking of the blessings or the curses, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever." Again, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder upon thy seed forever." Now, just because Moses said forever is what did it for me. Let me stop here for a second. You know, we have the rule here, Five Smooth Stones. When we get a question, we stop, because no need of building a house if you got questions, because somebody's not following you. So let's go to area code 319-573. Go ahead, you're on the air. What is your question or comment, please?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
I'd first just like to say that science proves that there is no God. God as a whole. It not only proves that there isn't a Jesus, but it proves... Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't prove that there was a Jesus. I, in fact, do believe that there was a Jesus. I don't believe that he was the Messiah. But in the whole grand scheme of things, it proves that there is not a God or a creator.
Well, let me. I want to share with you, and I want you to tell me what you think of this. Okay, what's your name?
Charles.
Charles. Okay, Charles. Yep. I mean, I just asked everybody that. In the city you're calling from, Charles?
What city am I calling from?
Yes.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay. I appreciate that. I don't think we ever got a call from Des Moines before. First of all, I appreciate the manner of which you speak. I think you're serious. And we get some people calling here, and they have other alternatives, but other motives. But I think what you're saying, you mean that sincerely in your heart. I want to say this to you about science. Science, when you say the word science, you never can say you're talking about a particular scientist, because there are pro-God scientists, pro-creation scientists, then there's anti-creation scientists.
And there's far more anti-creationist scientists. There's far more anti-creationist scientists.
The truth is often stranger than fiction. I'm sure you've heard that before. And this is what I have to say about science. It's like a political debate. There is no answer. They can't come to agreement. It's like you should never quote that community.
Science and theology overlaps with each other. It's what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is, Charles, is this. The best answer to whether or not something exists is somebody that has personal experiences with. Now, if you're walking down the street, like, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of something called the gifts of the Spirit?
The gift of the Spirit?
The gifts, G-I-F-T-S, gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Yes.
Name just one, if you don't mind. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's the reason I'm going this direction.
Gifts of the Spirit?
Just name one.
Forgiveness.
No, that's not a gift of the Spirit. Try again.
What are you trying to say, the gift of the Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit.
According to the Scriptures in the New Testament, there is something that happened when the Messiah came, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon mankind. There was something called the gifts of the Spirit. This is where the Spirit can, when it inhabits a body, just like evil spirits can inhabit a body. When the Holy Spirit enters a body, all spirits have the same goal. They want a body. When the Holy Spirit enters a body and takes complete control, there is 9 things it can do. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know. Enlighten me.
Okay. Now, I want to share something with you, Charles, and this is why, I mean, of course you have an opinion. I have an opinion. At the end of the day, it's all opinions. But the question is, does any of our opinions ever reflect reality? Does any of our opinions ever really reflect what the Creator is saying, if there's a Creator in your situation? I'm saying it for your sake. Now,
well, sure they do.
Now, what I'm about to say is this. When you know about the gifts of the Spirit, and when you talk to people, and there will be thousands of interviews you'd have to conduct, of people that left their jobs saying, I don't know what happened. I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, or I'm a follower of the Most High, and I just knew that my son was in danger. I don't know how I knew it. And they rush home and their son is in danger. There's thousands of cases like that. Every one of these gifts of the Spirit, that is called a word of knowledge. It's called a word of knowledge according to New Testament teaching.
Called your instincts as well. That's disputable.
People can come along. People can come along and write things, and the ink is still wet on the page. But there's an ancient interpretation for all this, and I'd rather go with, instead of those that wrote something that the ink is still wet on the page, I'd rather go to something that have dust on it. So what I'm trying to say is, we as I don't mean to be unkind, because I don't really know you, I can't. But I'm saying a lot of times people get educated, they get full of themselves. And you can never learn. You can learn so far, then you start to, your education begin to kind of stifle because of pride. As the scriptures say, pride goeth before the fall. But when you stay humble, it's really amazing how you are given secrets to the world when you're just more humble
It's the weirdest thing how highly educated people become dumb and so-called debased people become scholars. It's like the scripture says that the Most High will reveal to the despised and the rejected. It's so true. What I'm trying to say to you, in other words, is...
I would actually say quite the contrary. I think that these people who are very educated are very humble. And the reason for that is that they are doubtful of what happens when you die. Doubt, the word doubt is humble. And that's what mankind needs to be, beings, you know, that they're just a living history of getting things dead wrong. They need to have doubt. We as humans need to have doubt toward the big questions and approach the big questions with doubt and not with the arrogant certainty, which is the hallmark of religion, that just knowing what happens when you die. You don't know what happens when you die, and how can I be so sure of that? Because not even I know, and you don't possess certain mind powers that I do not.
Well, what I'm saying, and I respect what you're saying, and I hope that I am being as humble as I think you are. What I'm trying to say to you is there are so many people that have had these experiences that line up with scripture, and then science come along, and they don't know. Like here's a classic example. Science got all these long names. These psychologists got all these long names for these weird behaviors. When we as in the church see certain weird behaviors, we know that this particular person can be either oppressed by evil spirits or demonically possessed. Now, you probably laugh at
that. That sounds very, very
hold on. Let me get out what I was saying. So we know that spirits can do certain things when they involve a body. Now, science will say, no, they're schizophrenia, they this, they this, they the other, and they'll give them all this medicine that's going to darn near kill them.
Because there's more proof and evidence to that.
Hold on, let me finish. But at the same time, you can take him to some little old church where the guy probably have a high school diploma, and he'll look at certain things and say, you know what, that's a spirit. He'll pray for that person and command the spirit.
Because he's uneducated.
Hold on. This spirit, he's not educated in the so-called, you know, status quo, but he knows his stuff in terms of the scriptures. So what I'm saying, he'll cast the spirit out, and this spirit will begin to argue with this guy, totally out of the character of the person that this is happening to. I mean, oftentimes women have men voices. Science don't have no reason for that. They'll just say, well, he has a split personality. But watch this. The proof is in the pudding when the person is set free. When the person is set free and they can now rest and they live a different life and they live to talk about it and they write books about it, science don't know what to say about that. Instead of people just giving glory to the one creator, they want to always try to be, and it's very arrogant, and that's the thing about this country. We got a lot of arrogant people that feel like, not saying you are like this, because I think you are a seeker like I am. But there's a lot of arrogant doctors and lawyers that go around the other countries dictating to them what is democracy and what their culture should be.
There's also a lot of arrogant preachers.
Big time. And false preachers. And greedy preachers.
That tell you to cough up your money to the church.
And wrong preachers. But what I'm saying is there's also righteous preachers. So let's talk about, just for the sake of this one conversation, the righteous preachers and the righteous scientists. Let's talk about these two people and exclude the others. I'm saying to you, what are you going to do, Charles, about all of these people that are much older than you, 70, you know how they say wisdom comes with old age. These people are very old people. I know that there's a lot of people that's just foolishly religious. They just don't think for themselves, and they're not studious, and they're very emotional, and a lot of these people, poor people. I understand the argument. You're right. There are a lot of people that they're just in it for a crutch. They really don't know the Most High. But again, Charles, let's talk about the real people. Let's talk about those that do know the power. Let's talk about those that could do things that will scare the hell out of you. Let's talk about angels. What happens to those people that talk to people and they went back to respond and they was gone? These people can't be crazy. There's too many millions of them. Science can't explain that. What happens to the person that science says you're going to die?
What makes it not crazy? What makes it not crazy? Even if a million people believe something, it can still be crazy. It's what you define as crazy. If you want to get in depth with philosophy and how people think, that argument of yours that you just proposed would be completely absurd. I mean, look at the big millions and millions of cults around the world. You know, you're saying that something can't be crazy because there's millions and millions of people who believe in it. Look at the millions of jihadists around the world, and you're saying that's not crazy because there's millions and millions of people who are part of the jihadist and terrorist groups. So you're just saying these millions of people who claim that they have been healed by God or had these miracles performed on them by God, you're saying they're not crazy because they have strength in numbers, that there's millions of them. So basically you're implying that the jihadists aren't crazy.
Very good point. So
it's what you define as crazy.
So democracy can, I see you going. And that's a very good point. Good argument, sir. I have to give you points on that. I would like to say it in another way. When you see people that have experiences and they have no concept of the Bible, they have these experiences. Okay, and they have no concept
like
of, and I tend toward the miraculous things because if I talk about Psalms and philosophical things, you know, if I start talking about how David was giving praise to the Most High, people can argue that away. I mean, yes, that has its place in the church, but I tend to lean towards miracles when I'm talking to somebody like you because science.
There's no
such thing.
When you start
talking about
miracles,
when you start talking about miracles with scientists. That's when you get them to kind of tight-lipped.
There's
That's
no such thing as miracles, because for every miracle, there's a tragedy that happens. You look at the tornado in Joplin, Missouri, and the man, actually a better one was the tsunami in Thailand. For the miracle, this woman was jumping up and down saying she survived by a miracle of God. And for that miracle, then there was a mother holding up her dead child to the sky asking God why he took away her little baby. So why would a loving God that you believe in take this baby's life over someone who's lived far longer than him? For every miracle, there's a tragedy that happens. There's no such thing as miracles.
I don't know if you can say that just because somebody has a tragedy next door that I can't have a miracle next to them. I don't know. That's kind of weak. But let me say this to you. I hear you, but let me say this to you. This is what I've learned. I'm 50 years old. I don't know what age you are, but I assume I'm older than you. That don't mean I'm more right than you, but this is one thing I've learned. The Bible says, and you may not even believe in the Bible, but again, if you don't believe in the Bible, it's kind of interesting conversation, even though it's not part of our agenda tonight, but I'll entertain it for a second. If you don't believe in the Bible, why do you believe in right? When you say this is not right, that's not right. Right, the word R-I-G-H-T comes from the word.
You're
going
to go to the. I know what you're going to right now. You're going to objective moral values. Where do we get our morals from? Am I correct?
Absolutely.
What is right and wrong? How do we get that right?
Absolutely.
My answer
that's
to that is
you begin to
that when,
like you,
when humans got together and when we evolved enough, don't you think they got together because the human mind is created and it was developed to think critically and logically. Don't you think these individuals would say, get together and say, hey, let's not steal from each other, let's not kill each other? That'd probably be a bad idea because our subjective purpose, because I don't believe we have an objective purpose in life, our subjective purpose is to ensure the continuity of our species. Moral values. And you say that moral values come from the Bible and we get our morals from religion, but what's funny is that the Bible condones slavery, and today's society, even Christians, frown upon slavery. And an atheist, Abraham Lincoln, freed the slaves from the South who were very, very Christians.
Well, I mean, you're throwing a lot of lies in that, what you just said. I'm not going to even address Abraham.
What lies, please?
Hold on, I can't. It's too many.
No, please tell me what lies.
Well, Abraham Lincoln, for one, I mean, he wasn't freeing the slaves out of the kindness of his heart. It was political. But listen, that's minor.
But he was an atheist, and he freed
slaves. It's okay. But what I want to share with you is this. It baffles me, and I'm learning. I'm a student still. You could teach me a lot of things, I'm sure, Charles. But it baffles me how people that don't believe in God or don't believe in a God will turn around and I seem like live their entire life demanding things that come straight from the Bible. I mean straight from the Bible. It's like if you're not going to believe in the Most High, don't ascribe to anything that he has formed or planned. Nothing. I mean, you should sexually, it should be totally immoral. Socially, totally immoral. Economically, totally immoral. Don't borrow from Israel with the tithing principles and the foundations and all this stuff by giving back. So, you know, I mean, this principle, you know, all of these, it just really rubs me the wrong way. It's like, okay, we're going to borrow from the Bible where we can profit, but other than that, we don't believe in God. You know, like the so-called, the secret. You know, they want to
take from where are we borrowing from the Bible? What are we borrowing from the Bible?
Oh, you got to be kidding. And like I'm talking about right now, this whole book that come out called The Secret. These people want to take from the scriptures the law of sowing and reaping when you sow into, you know, people's lives, and they want to talk about giving, and they want to talk about how the Most High says, let the weak say I'm strong. They want to talk about confessing, you know, the Bible is strong about how you're supposed to speak the end result of something and not, you know, not the problem. You know, in the Old Testament, a woman was suffering much, and somebody said to her, how goeth the battle? And she did, you know, she claimed the victory. All I'm saying is, you kind of threw me off, so I'm wrestling for the scriptures that where these things are at. But
yeah, I have no idea what
you're
saying.
What I want to say to you is this. You're a young man, and you have as absolutely right as anybody to think and to ponder and to do what you're doing, which I applaud you for, even calling a show like myself, and because this is exactly how you learn the way you're doing right now. Now, I hope I'm not sounding condescending because that's the farthest from my heart, but this is what I've learned. You got to live a little bit, and when you live, you kind of just have to just take stuff in. You can question it, but you said there is no God. You talk like you have been living 300 years. You tried all the religions. You literally tried them. You became a Buddhist. You became
a Christian. I used to be a Christian.
Hold on. Well, but you didn't know about the gifts of the Spirit. That's major. Now, I'm not trying to say that. I don't mean that because I don't know about things. But hear me out. Hear my heart, y'all. What I'm saying is people will go and listen to science, and they'll know all the ins and outs of science. But when they say, I don't believe in God, and you start asking them, okay, well, what did Christ come to do? And they can't tell you. And you say, well, what did the Most High promise to Israel? They can't tell you. And you start questioning about the Bible, and they can't tell you basic Bible principles. How can you object to something you don't know about? What I'm trying to say is, if I were you, Charles, I will continue doing what you're doing right now. You don't sound too haughty, but you kind of sound like, you got to be careful because when people hear you on the phone, they don't know if you – I don't know what your age is. You might be older than I am, for all I know. And when you come across the areas, this is it. This is it. I mean, I like to say it like this. This is where I'm at. Where I'm at, this is what I see. I say it like that, and I'm 50 years old. I don't come across as there is no God. I hope I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe I come across as strong as you do. But I guess what I'm saying is I see so many young people, 20, 21, 25, and they talk like they're 80 years old, and they know nothing of the Christian faith. You might have went to a church that didn't even teach the Bible. I don't know. Maybe you did. A lot of churches are not really teaching a whole lot of Bible. It's just a lot of emotionalism. There is a whole lot of people out here, Charles, that have had mind-boggling experiences, life-changing deliverances from drugs, and people have prayed for them and they have experienced some things. You just can't discount that. Keep trying to write off every little one of these experiences. Well, that might
have
happened.
There's also evangelical preachers who have converted to atheism because the Bible contradicts itself, and it, when they really looked at it, it didn't make any sense to them.
Right, and I know
America's
like
leading
that.
Preachers converting to atheism. Dan Barker, one of them.
I don't know what's leading about them. Let me ask you something. I guarantee you I can walk up to one of them leading preachers and ask them this question. You know what we're talking about tonight on this show? Tonight on this show we're talking about how we know who the real Israelites are. And if I walk up to some of these preachers you just got to talk about and ask them who Israel is, they're going to point east. They think those people over in that book is the true Israelites. As white as they are in that black, dark, sun-stricken land, they think those white people are Israelites. So if you don't have enough wherewithal to even know because of your own prejudices, not you, I'm talking about these, a lot of these ministers, they can't even identify Israel. So if they can't even identify basic Israel, who the whole Bible was wrote about, and they don't understand that this book is full of dark-skinned, dust-colored people, and they think that's racism or something, they don't have the wherewithal to comprehend that, then, yeah, I can imagine the Bible does contradict itself, because the Bible says that Israel is supposed to be at the bottom of society if they disobey, and they're supposed to rule if they obey. Now, watch this. If you look at the people over in Israel today, they call themselves Jews, and they're rebellious and afflicting the people in the Gaza Strip and just acting like some crazy people, and yet they rule in Hollywood, they rule in the news networks, they rule the banks. I mean, that's not somebody on the bottom of society. Yeah, that's contradicting. Right there, the Bible contradicted just that. I just showed you a major contradiction. It says Israel is going to be at the bottom of society if they're disobedient. Here are these so-called Jews at the bottom.
Well, it also condones slavery and lying and killing.
Who, the Jews? So-called Jews?
The Bible does.
Well, the Bible condemns slavery to those that are wicked. Like, and it's a good thing. Listen to this. See, it's just like when they say condone slavery. It's not talking about that American kind of slavery. Listen what it says. Yeah, if a person is wicked and they're coming against the Most High and all of his precepts and concepts, what should those people be good for? They should be servants. Absolutely. Slavery for the wicked. Absolutely, Charles. That's where you were the wicked. That's who's supposed to be slaves. But not like the American kind of slave where you got masters sleeping with, breaking up families and all this crazy stuff that the Europeans took us through. Now, that right there is something. That's not nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere.
And it also condones slavery that isn't for the wicked. What is the Bible verse? Leviticus 25:45, I believe. It says, moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and they shall be your possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. Children.
Absolutely, but do you know why? This is what I mean. Y'all quoting scriptures, but listen. I love what you're doing, and I appreciate you calling, actually, even though maybe you know the Most High is going to take us a different direction. And Eric code 708-903, I see your hand. Hold on 1 second, please. But just like you just quoted that scripture, this is Israel's. The Most High has chosen people. Why did he choose them? Because of their forefather, Abraham. It wasn't about these people. They was knucklehead people. But they had some certain laws. They was more civilized because they had the laws of the Most High.
He chose them because of Abraham. Hold on, hold it for a second.
Most High was about Abraham, not about so much his seed, because they were some rebellious people. Okay, let's get that straight. But they did have his laws, and that's what made them superior. Yes, the word superior is used here. They were superior to the other nations because of the law. The Most High cannot stand in sin. He can't stand the presence of sin. So these other nations, when Israel would conquer them, they would take their women because they were ungodly people. When I told you ungodly people are supposed to be servants, they are against the nature of the whole earth cycle. They are coming against the very purpose that the Most High created the planet. So they are to be beneath the other people in terms of, not this American type of slavery, but they are to serve the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. There's many scriptures like that. So you're right. The Bible advocates slavery, and you should too. But what kind of slavery? You don't enslave righteous, hard-working, law-abiding, God-fearing people. No, that's evil. But if you got people and they confused about sexuality, they can't even know really what that's all about, and they're having sex with animals, it's men having sex with men, and that don't promote life. That don't promote life. And you got all types of stuff that's causing decadence and decay and destruction, and they're stealing and there's jealousy, and they're killing each other at a higher rate than normal because they're not following these laws. When they come into the presence of Israel, who have these laws, they should serve them. Slavery, call it what you want. Absolutely positivity. Let me tell you what's going to happen to that slavery. Let me tell you what happened to so-called black people when they came to America. Slavery has a way of humbling you. And it will cause
Christians who owned them.
I'm sorry?
It was Christians that owned the slaves in the South, if you aren't familiar.
Yeah, and I believe that the Most High ordained for African Americans to be slaves. That's my belief. Because we
and it
are.
Was an atheist who freed them.
Well, the atheist never freed them. It was under pressure to free them. I told you, y'all got that.
Abraham Lincoln was an atheist.
Okay, what does that mean? They don't give
he's
you no point.
What I find funny is, as I came on the show and I said that there isn't a God, and unlike what you should have done, you really didn't object to that and make your arguments for a creator. You went straight to biblical scriptures and whatnot, defending a creator, I guess, in some sort. You didn't even bother to defend the purpose you didn't even bother to defend the concept of a creator or a God creating the universe. You didn't even touch on the cosmological argument, the teleological argument, fine-tuning, or
you
any
know
of
why?
Those arguments.
You know why, Charles? I don't have
why?
To. Truth can be, hold on. Truth can be proven many ways. You don't have to come the traditional way to, no, you can come at what you're saying all kinds of ways. And I like to do things a little different. But this is what I want to do. I want to do something a little different. I want you to hold that thought. Now I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm not going to mute you, but we got to be respectful. I want these other people to have a brief comment
sure.
or question. And we got like
sure.
one, two, three people with their hands up. But I don't want you to hang up. I want you to stay
okay.
in tune. Maybe y'all can gang up against me. Area code 708-903. 708-903. Go ahead. You are on the air.
Send me some shit, then
No,
here's
what happened.
Okay.
Dude, I know.
Hello, you on the air, sir?
Hey, dude, what's that? You know what I'm saying? He telling me.
Eric code 708-903. You're on the air. You got a question or comment?
You gonna put me on.
I'm so sorry. I didn't even know I was on. Somehow this phone like that be hitting the button. But, shalom, Israel.
Shalom, my brother.
Hello? So, listen to the guy comments. He's saying, I guess he's an atheist, don't believe in the Most High. Right. Well, I tell him like this: the Most High said it's for letting them have ears and ears, let them hear. And if the Spirit don't move them, you cannot move, you cannot change a man's belief. The Most High either changes, because he said he made vessels for good and evil. He creates light and day, good and evil. He does all things. So that man, his purpose is to be served. If he want to get to the Most High place, he must change his direction. So if you can only enlighten a man, you can't make him like a lead a horse to water and make him drink. You can show him the water, but you can't make him drink. So if he don't want
the Most High,
I'm sorry if I went too hard or whatever.
Hold on a second, okay? First of all, what's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name?
I was born Gabriel, Ben Nathaniel.
Okay, Nathaniel. All right, first of all, don't you think you're being a little harsh? I mean, if the brother...
No, I'm not being harsh because the words say in 1 Timothy 5:3, though I have harsh to speak, as long as I speak the truth, if I come with the truth, and I'll have righteous in my truth and judgment. Ain't nothing hard. I can, if I'm cussing, if I'm coming with the truth, that's the point. The truth. I'm not gonna twist the truth, not to make my point. I'm gonna give you what the word speaks and how it is. And other than that, I'm gonna give him a false understanding, and he's gonna be still lost. So give him the word or sweet words or smooth things, as it says in Isaiah. People want smooth things. You give them smooth things, what they gonna do? They gonna be like a cake. They gonna get eight and be nothing. I'm giving them foundation like soil, so you build on that. You know, somehow, so he can be built on foolishness, like a house on sand or a house on rock. I'm trying to give him the rock. You feel
right,
me?
Right.
I may be coming. You did. So if I'm telling a lie,
right,
then rebuke
the word.
When I tell a lie, that's what you do. You rebuke him. So when he, I'm sorry, but continue. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Nathaniel, I appreciate your comment, man. I appreciate that, okay? You're making it very clear what you're saying. We understand. We got you. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Brother was very clear and firm and sharp. That's what he meant. That's what he said. Let me move on. I think just before I move on to the next question, I heard Brother Nathaniel, but I think, Charles, you're a little bit more, what's the word? You have questions, and I think you would believe if somebody answers your questions. And what I think what Nathaniel is saying, look, you don't put the truth out there, my brother.
If Jesus knocked on my door and said, here I, if Jesus knocked on my door and said, here I am, then I would believe.
Well, he is knocking on your door, here he is, but you want him to come in your way. But
wow.
I hear you. Hold on a second. Let's get another comment in here. Eric code 423437. Go right ahead, you're on the air.
Let me get this straight. This guy doesn't believe in God. Is that right?
That's correct.
How can you not believe in God? I mean, I've got just one thing to say to that, and it's...
Okay, I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. Are you there, Charles?
Yeah, that was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't know why people just don't have nothing better to do than that. But anyway, Eric,
let's get on Blog Talk Radio and prank call the hosts. Sounds like a fun idea.
Oh. Yeah, 404-551, go ahead, you got a question.
Hey, Brother Seth, it's Andrea.
Hey, how you doing, my sister?
I am epic. I'm well, how are you?
I know who you are. I am epic. It's good to hear from you. We got to talk a little later, but I want you to address this brother here. What do you have to say to him?
You know, I've only been on a few minutes, so I just wanted to say hello, and I'm not sure that I have the whole picture, so I'm not sure that come it up for me.
Well, I like to know what you'd have to say to him. He's basically saying there is no God, and he's talking about that there's no really miracles. He's more of a science. You know how a lot of the scientists, not all of them, there's a lot of creation scientists, but and they are very stronger argument as, you know, I think a stronger argument anyway. But
no, they don't. You see any of those individuals. You see the creationist scientists or theologians debate the scientists on the universe and whatnot. They all lose very miserably.
Well, I mean, you're saying they lose, but again, and I want you to, Andrea, I definitely want you to your comment, but again, you hear where he's going with this. But this is what I say. When I talk to somebody and they understand the Old Testament and they understand the New Testament, I know you said there's some preachers that say there ain't no God. I don't know what to say about four or five preachers that go bad when there's 9 million that don't. But I'm saying this. When you got...
Well, there's more than just four.
Hold on. You can't always go by, you know, have this democracy with numbers. I understand that. But when you got billions of people and they just as smart as you, they question the Most High just as you. They, you know, they go to the bathroom just as you. They think just as you, Charles. They're no less intelligent than you are. And there's billions of them that say there is something out there other than us. And then the whole spiritual.
But there isn't.
Hold on. This is the one thing I got to tell you, and I want to know what Andrea had to say. the one thing that baffles my mind, again, I got so many things to tell you. I'm trying to let all these other people talk before I really just share. But this is another thing that gets me. The whole spiritual realm. It's like scientists are saying it don't exist. That is the kookiest thing. There are so many of us that know that there are spirits without bodies that exist. Some people call them demons.
Oh.
That's the fallen angels. And then there's, but we know for a fact, this is science. We know for a fact. And science is not just laboratories and test tubes and microscopes. I mean, emotions is science. Let me walk up to you and curse you out and you tell me what you don't feel bad. That's science. Why do we think just one aspect of facts is science? Go ahead, Andrea.
Charles, do you believe in consciousness or the soul or what exactly are you, I mean, do you have a belief inside of that if you don't label it God? No? You believe in
energy? No, I believe that I believe
you're
in what?
Energy? Do you believe that you're an energy? Like, is that the avenue of science that you're...
I believe we're specimens of millions of years, of a million-year process of evolution, and when we die, it's game over. There's no afterlife.
Well, I'll tell you this much, if I can jump in here. Charles, don't feel, at least from me, any type of... But sometimes my voice get loud and I get emotional. People interpret that as I'm saying you're dumb or I'm angry with you. It's just I notice people, to me, atheists, like they say there's no atheists in the foxhole is true. I think atheists, a lot of them want attention. Now, maybe not you. And they mad at God. They mad at the Most High. Maybe they lost a grandmother or something, or they mad because they're hungry.
Oh, I completely believe that. But that's not all of them. That's not all of them. I completely agree with that. No, I agree with you, but that's not everybody.
Well, if you take away those people, if you give those people what they want, bring their grandma back, their nice little Christian. So is that really an atheist? No. So this is what I call an atheist. And
there's
I've never
plenty
met
of people
one
like that.
Hold on, let me get this out. I know I'm talking a lot here, but I got to get this out. This is what I call an atheist. A person that have read the Old Testament and New, and they understands it. They read the New, they're familiar with Christ. I ask you about the gifts of the Spirit. They're going to know about the basics of salvation, things like what the gifts of the Spirit and the characteristics of fruit of the Spirit is. They're going to know about the Beatitudes. They're going to know these basics. They're going to know some of the basics of Buddhism and all these other religions, Islam. They're going to know these things, okay? And after having walked in these different religions and really having had encounters, they got to have the encounters that the Christians are saying they're having. They've got to have those encounters. Once they have those encounters and maybe they have been healed, maybe they have those gifts of the Spirit operating in their life, and they've got to go through everything all these Christians are saying that they really have. These people are not lying. I know there's habitual liars out here, but some of these old ladies and old fathers and some of these just regular everyday people are not lying. So
how do you know?
An atheist got to go through all of these experiences. They got to be so-called, like, maybe they was in a wheelchair, now they're walking, and they've experienced everything, and then they walk away and say, none of it's real. I never met anybody like that. Most atheists, they don't even understand the Bible. But they listen to Stephen
Hawking. Well, if there was a God who performed these miracles, made people walk and stuff, why not do it to everybody instead of just a select few?
Well, that's your reasoning. You can't dictate, but you, Charles, you can't dictate to a holy being how he's to, now, if you do it this way, I'll believe in you. Listen, he said, I've given you, man, the authority upon the whole earth. I made it, but you have the authority. The Messiah, why did he just show up and just die for the sins of the world? He had to be born of a woman. He had to come through, you know, and all these things. He had to die. You know, you just can't walk upon this earth. This earth is licensed to man. The authority in the earth is licensed to man. That's why we have hunger. That's why when Christ came, the first thing he did was fed the hunger. first thing he did do was heal the sick. And he said, I am the Father. This is what the Father would do. So he's saying to us, the Father don't want hunger. The Father don't want the sick. The Father want us happy. I'm going to leave and send back a spirit that's going to do what I'm doing times as many. Every one of you can have this spirit. Now, you
all
can
you
call
have to
it,
do to...
You, hold on. You can call it make-believe, but you can't say, why would a loving God? That's what most atheists say, why would a loving God? You can't use that because Christ already come and show you the heart of the Father, so you know that the Father don't want this. So who wants it? Why do we have hunger? Why do we have all of these calamities? It's man and his choices and his greed and his decadence. This is why Christ come, that we have relationship with the Father. This is why I'm on Blog Talk Radio tonight, encouraging, inspiring us to have this relationship with the Father, so we won't have the murderers and the greedy people on Wall Street that's causing. They're the ones that's causing world hunger. They're the ones that's causing wars, not the Most High. George Bush, who a lot of y'all love and voted for, maybe not you, but I'm saying these are clowns that are causing world hunger, world this, and then y'all want to turn around and flip a finger up at God. Andrew, did you have any more questions? I can go on and on.
Well, God's the all-knowing, all-powerful God.
I'm sorry?
But God's the all-powerful, all-knowing God. He can eliminate all that if he wanted to.
No, he said in his word, another, and I'm not picking on you, but again, here's some other scriptures y'all don't know. He said that he's given us the authority. If somebody say, look, I'm going to make you a house, but I'm going to give you the authority.
But why?
Kind of like,
it doesn't matter.
On,
why did he give us the authority?
Hold on. Let me answer, you made a comment, I'm addressing it. Now,
okay.
It's like a landlord. It's his house, but he gives you the authority to operate inside. That landlord is not going to enter your house without asking you. He can get shot, even though it's his house. The Most High made this earth, but he's given man the authority, and even Christ couldn't just come and just do what he wants to do. He had to come through a body.
So you're saying if God came to us, even though it's his earth, we could kill him.
Science don't answer. They always want to, scientists, they want to talk about little things that they discovered in a microscope, but when all these billions of questions
No, they
want to
find answers. They want to find logical and reasonable answers to the big questions that people can so easily. Tell me how easy it is to just say God poofed the universe into existence. Science tries to find a logical and reasonable, rational explanation to how the universe came into existence rather than to just say God pooped it into existence. How easy is that? It involves
right,
thinking.
And then when they can't, and then you know what they do, Charles, what's funny? They want to have an answer for everything. And so when they really don't have an answer, they'll just make up something
that's
better. But what I'm trying
to
say is, how arrogant can you be? Sometimes they need to say, we don't know.
They have many times, but they do have an answer to the origin of the universe. They do have a very logical one.
If they have such an answer, they can make man. They can't make man. They can duplicate. Andrea, I don't mean to ignore you, darling. Do you want to have any more comments?
No, you're right on track. I mean, they have an answer all the way up to, you know, the energy or the essence of the soul. You can clone. You know, you can do, science can do amazing things. However, there's gaps all over the theories when you look at it that way too, Charles. I appreciate
there's
it.
There's also gaps all over the Bible and contradictions all over
absolutely
the Bible.
Absolutely there
all
are.
You have to do it, all you have to do is go look back at the Babylonian myths and look at all the prophets dating before Christ, such as Mithra and Horus, born
absolutely
of a virgin. Their baptist was beheaded. They walked on water, performed miracles, crucified, rose on the third day. All
absolutely
these people matched Jesus, and they were before him. But what makes Jesus so much more significant? I'll tell you what. Because he's more recent than these things, dating thousands of years before his coming, in a sense. And that's why we've adapted the Jesus story rather than these other ones that are much, much, much older.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, I think we've got man, you know, we've got interpretations and we've got translations and we have agendas, and evil actually at the root of at most of those things. So, you know,
religion,
things are taken out and put in and interpreted. But, you know,
it's just I can appreciate the path that you're on, and you're seeking of truth and knowledge, and you know, I've certainly pondered some of the same things you have at a point in my life, and not such a recent past. So,
but then tell me, you're saying you agree with me. Then what makes you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Why do you believe the Jesus story when I just said several stories that relate to Jesus, basically the mirror image of Jesus, and they were before him?
I didn't agree, and I didn't hear exactly everything that you said there. I did agree there are gaps in Scripture and, you know, discrepancies. I do, though, at the end of the day, you know, and being in, I cannot even find the right word to tell you how much I go out and research it and want to find the truth and things. That's what I have to go back to. At the end of the day, I have to go to my heart. And in my heart, I know that, you know, I know there's a God. I know the Most High drives me. It's a feeling that I cannot put into words.
Were your parents Christian? Are your parents Christian?
You know, my dad was Catholic. I think my mom was Baptist, you know, if they had
to
tell someone, but they didn't go to church. No, I did. As a child, I used to walk to church by myself, but, you know.
And you were indoctrinated, and that's what you were led to believe over years and years and years. As a child, you know, you are very vulnerable to all these seas of information. You know, you look at the undeveloped mind of a child, you know, that's a bad argument. At the toddler age, you probably weren't interpreting church and whatnot, but even as a child, you're very vulnerable to these seeds of information, and you're basically going to believe anything that's told to you, and that's where science comes into play.
You know,
you're
making a lot
curious.
Of assumptions, though. You're making assumptions for me, and I do think children are, you know, certainly impressionable. But tell me,
I'll take you out of the case. Tell me how then someone raised in the Muslim faith who you guys consider is wrong, you consider Muslim the wrong view of religion. Tell me how a children brought up in the Muslim faith and indoctrinated so deeply is supposed to convert to Christianity and get on the path to Christianity and go to heaven. It's almost like they have an unfair chance.
I'm not arguing that at all.
Not arguing that? You're saying that they're going to go to hell because they don't
believe
in that. No, I'm not.
You're assuming my beliefs exactly. So.
Okay, I'll ask our host here.
Hold on a second.
No, it's not. You're exactly right, Brother Seth. Thank you.
Yeah, like you just said, they're going to go to hell. The Bible don't say that. This is what I believe, and I'm trying to find a short way to, because I do want to eventually, hopefully, get around to what this show is supposed to be about. But then again, I don't want to control the Most High. Maybe he's leading us down this direction. I don't know. But good questions, Charles. Must give you props. And I do think your heart is right, and I want to thank you for calling the show because, actually, you know, maybe this is the direction we should go. So I want to just know that. So when I comment you kind of hard, just know that my heart, like, you know, Andrew just said, you have a good heart. Let me just say this. Like, you just said something that's kind of tricky. Like, a lot of atheists will say, well, how was you raised? See, you was indoctrinated by your parents. And just because your parents were Christians, that means that you being a Christian has no weight. You're just indoctrinated. All of us are indoctrinated.
Most of the time, that is the
everybody.
Case.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Everybody is indoctrinated by everybody. We are constantly hearing people. We hear you. We hear Charles in the news. We hear Charles in the grocery store.
The one thing
store.
You have is
hold
biased
on,
information,
on,
one-sided
hold on a second.
Information.
Hold that thought for a second, please. We hear this kind of talk, it's good talk. Listen, it's good question. You have found some loopholes. Good for you. We all see them. We know that this Bible has issues. I know that. I'm not so brainwashed. I don't just believe that the Bible is just have. The Bible says many other things that King David and is written in the book of Jasher. There isn't a book of Jasher. many other things that this king, and it's written in the Annals of the King. There is no book called Annals of the King. So the Bible is telling you right there that it's incomplete. It's saying, where are these books at? So we know then there's duplicate chapters. There's all kinds of things about it. We understand that. What I'm trying to say to you is we have thousands or maybe millions of people that are having experiences where their life has been changed for the good, and that's what it's all about in the end. What can we do to salvage ourselves and live a more wholesome life in our children? We've got millions of ex-drug dealers that walk down to the altar of a church and give their life. Some of them are healed instantly. Science don't do that. You don't have that track record. When you have a track record like the church has of setting people free, giving, you know, you can call it emotionalism or whatever it is, but to me it's a whole bunch of test tube, microscope, guessing bunch of folk that's got issues with the Most High. If you would sit down and talk to a lot of these scientists, they're angry. They're angry at the Most High. Why is our world so bad? And they want to flip him off. That's really what it's all about. If you give these people, bring back their dead grandmother, get their business that they lost thousands of dollars for back, half these folks will be Christians. Now, there are some like you, I'm hoping you're in the good bunch, that really, truly have some legitimate concern. But to me, Charles, and please don't take this the wrong way, you are unlearned, young man. You don't even know the Bible. You're quoting scriptures that the Most High never said. If you're going to tell somebody they don't exist, at least know what they really said. At least know what they really said. I think what you should do, it's just me talking, you should go to one of these churches that claim to have, you know, a lot of power and a lot of results, and you see people really getting set free. Go to their churches and go to their whole Bible school. Now, after you go to their whole Bible school and you graduate, and you can look back at me and say, Brother Seth, I've heard the teachings on the Holy Spirit. I've heard the teachings on the gifts of the Spirit that you talked about, the nine gifts. I've seen them operate. I know brothers and sisters that were with me through this college, and I know certain people was healed. And after you went through all of this, then turn around and tell me they don't exist. But I know your kind, and I'm not trying to put you down like your kind, but I know people just like you, and then just a few years later, they're somewhere dancing up and down, talking about how God set them free, changed their life. I know so many Charles that are saying, I used to be like this, but God changed my life. He showed me. He spoke with me, and blah, 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 blah. Testimonies after testimonies, thousands after thousands, more than these little scientists you're quoting. That's my comment. Andrew, did you have any more last words before I move on? Charles, you can stay on the line.
It's hard to follow that.
yeah.
You know, I can appreciate just some of the things that Charles started to say because, you know, it's those beliefs that Charles, that you were putting on me that, you know, the indoctrinated and you know, the why isn't God doing this and those sort of things. You know, I listened to some of the, you know, I listen to a lot of the programs and will flip through them, even on Blog Talk, that are doing Bible studies and whatnot. And I can't stay on their shows, Brother Seth. It's not what the Most High, it's not the Most High's word or truth. It's judgmental and it's, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just another interpretation. It's just another interpretation by man and we don't have that right to judge each other inside of that place, in my opinion. So, you know, it's no wonder, especially our younger generations, are looking to other things besides what church and religion typically has meant, you know, for us. You know, they're turned off by it, you know. It's got too many gaps. We've got a lot of very brilliant minds coming up, and, you know, it makes us all have to be on our game, in my opinion. And, you know, I wouldn't send him into a Bible study at any church. I think that would send him right on back down the atheist path. I would tell him to sit and read his Bible, get a couple versions of it online, and start reading.
read
that.
Well,
the reason why I said a church, a good church, notice I said a church where they have people that have had these testimonies. I'm not talking about some regular everyday church, 1,000 of them on one block. I'm talking about some churches showing up on the move. Now, the reason why I say this is because when you get off by yourself, yes, you can have those experiences. In the end, you are going to have to be by yourself, you and the Creator. But I've learned something. Brothers and sisters on this planet can help each other. They got the right heart. Charles, he hung up. Or either he hung up or I lost him. Sometimes blog talk trips, that's why I'm getting ready to do something else completely different. Anyway, he's not on the line anymore. But what I was going to say, what I'm saying to you is, being by yourself with his philosophy, he thinks he's this free spirit. Nobody's influencing him. He's just out here, and he's going against maybe his mom and his dad. Maybe they're Christians, and people think because they're doing something new, they're free, and it's not true. Sometimes there's more bondage away from what your parents taught you than doing something totally different. We think because we are doing what our parents say that we're in bondage and we're limited and we don't know. But sometimes getting out there and having an open mind is the worst thing possible. Yes, you can have, this is what I say, I don't know how to explain this. Yes, you should have an open mind, but I think your mind should be open to the Most High, and that's it. You should be saying, lead me, guide me. You know, and you should know people are going to come across your path that's going to have a word for you. He's never going to deal with just you, ever. Just you by yourself. You'll have an encounter by yourself where it's just you and the Most High, and he'll put some in your heart, and you'll feel like he's spoken to you, and you'll know to go on, and you'll be encouraged. But you never stay by yourself, never. No religion, nowhere, advocate an island to yourself. It just don't happen.
I agree, and that was certainly just a, I could be completely wrong, but, you know, based on at least the generation I felt like he was in and the way that he's thinking, you know, sometimes you've got to just be, sometimes that's a good place to start, you know, and then you can start venturing out and once you've learned some discernment or you've got a little bit of something under your belt. But this is exactly how I found you on my path was, you know, okay, I've got some things I don't understand. I had never read the Bible before, you know, I remember looking for the book of Jasher in the Bible and could not figure out where it was, but it was in my index, you know. I mean, there's so many things in there that I still have so many questions about and could talk to you for years probably about. But
yeah.
So I definitely believe in, you know, in Bible study and you know, finding the right group of like-minded people to, you know, bounce ideas off of, to use their wisdom. And, you know, I think there's a lot of value in, for example, all the things that you know, all the wisdom that you encompass. Could you imagine how blessed somebody like Charles and I would be to walk into a church or temple where it's not only you, but a whole group of people?
Yeah,
right there. I cannot imagine. That would be like heaven.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Andrea. But I promise you, I'm the least. I always say that I'm the least. There are people that know circles around me. There are people that live circles around me, have far more fruit, have a better marriage, have better children, more close to the Most High, hear his voice clearly, don't study as long, get answers faster, have more faith. Believe me. So I understand Charles. I understand him, and that's why Nathaniel, I think he called after the first guy after Charles, you know, he felt like, look, just say it, you ain't got to play around with this, you know, and Nathaniel's right, with some people, yeah, you just say, look, this is how it is, it's what the Most High said, this is his law, he is the Creator, we are the created, we need to submit, who are we to question the Most High? Yeah, but when you got a baby, and I know Charles ain't gonna like me calling him a baby, but when you got, we all a baby to some degree, okay? I'm saying when you got people questioning, they have simple questions like, why is there war? The Bible advocates slavery. I know he never heard slavery like I just talked about it. I just know. Slavery is a good thing if it's to wicked people that are constantly destroying the planet. You want them under somebody to kind of slow them down because they're being decadent in their lifestyle and everything they do. Some people just totally anti the Most High. Everything they do is about death and destruction. Death and destruction. You want them under tutelage of someone that's mature. That in the Bible is the type of slavery. But we think slavery is such an ugly word because of what happened in the United States. It's American type slavery, and everybody just don't have no taste for it. But biblical slavery wasn't that type. It was just a servant. He wants to use that. The Most High is against slavery. And he kept using things that wasn't right, wasn't valid. The Most High never said. The Most High never advocated it. And that's what these people do. They'll go listen to Stephen Hawking, and they'll be a scholar and know everything he said when it comes out to the Bible. They don't want to submit, Andrea. They don't want to humble themselves. The Bible says, you will find me. The Most High said, you will find me, Andrea, when you seek me with all your heart. You've got to humble yourself. The Bible is a mystery. That's another thing I want to share with him. It's a mystery. You cannot get the revelation area. It's a code. The disciples say, Master, why is it when we're talking alone, you make things very clear? But when we're talking in the masses, you kind of talk like in parables and you say, it's almost like you don't want them to hear. He said, to you, it's given to know these things. I'm required to make it plain to you. Basically, I don't know who these folks are coming. He'd heal them. He'd raise the sick, so they got the blessings from him. But when he started teaching all that kingdom stuff, he didn't break it down like he did with the disciples because they weren't ready for it. They just needed to be healed. So they were supposed to get healed by the Messiah and then say, oh, my goodness, you are truly a follower of the Most High. How did you heal my body? And then they are to pursue him for the teaching, and then he'll teach them. But you don't just start getting off into some deep with 13,000 people that's listening to you talk. You can't do that. You got to talk in parables. Go ahead and heal them, feed them, and the ones that are serious, they're going to pursue you. They're going to follow you, and those are your disciples. The Bible is a code. Everybody can't get it. Everybody shouldn't get it. That's one thing I like about the so-called Jews in Israel. Andrew, I know I'm talking, but just bear with me.
No, I couldn't have said it better.
But the so-called Jews in Israel, it's one thing I like, one thing they did I like. When they came up on the name, the letters, Yud, Hey, Wad, Hey. YHWH. They was afraid of the name. But I think the reason why they instituted Lord, they put Lord there, and they put G-O-D instead of saying that holy, holy name, they were scared of that name, is because they knew folks would be saying, Jesus, please, Yahweh, please, or Yahweh, please, or whatever the pronunciation is you believe. They know that man would defile the very holy name, so they just put a nickname in there, Lord, G-O-D, L-O-R-D. I kind of liked it in a way. Because it's been preserved. So I'm just saying, can you imagine if the Messiah would have been teaching the kingdom clearly to all them people that had no intentions on living right? They would twist it around and cause all kind of confusion. That took me a long time to understand, why would he not teach those thousands of people? I feel like that was wrong for you to get. I just thought in my mind, I didn't ever tell nobody till really now. But I used to think, why didn't Christ teach everybody like he did the disciples? Why would he get them few and then teach them the real, make it clear? And then out there with the masses, he's talking in circles and all that. They weren't ready. They just come to get miracles and food. And those that were ready, they had to pursue him. These are some holy beings. You got to come a certain way. Charles is a little arrogant. I mean, he means well, too, but when you say there is no God, you 2 years old. You ain't been on the planet long enough. You just learn how to spell God. You don't understand the Old Testament. You don't understand the books of the Bible. You're not even a scholar. I don't know.
No, I get it. You know, you said you were thinking that, you know, you weren't even sure if you'd said that before out loud. You know, let me ask you this. Let me ask you what you think about this thought that just popped up. You know, when you were talking about the Messiah and how he just healed the people and in his wisdom of, you know, and discernment, just who he was and embodied, he knew what each person needed, and they got love and healed so that they could go on. And that was what they needed on their path. He didn't enslave them, though. And they weren't clean and righteous and living right and, you know, all these sorts of things. So maybe that's something we're supposed to look at, too.
He wasn't Andrea. He wasn't a government. He was just an individual. But the government that he represented, Israel, the Bible definitely has a place for the wicked within. When you encounter the righteous, the wicked, first Israel, like they was a mighty nation, when they was going to be having to go through a particular path, they were supposed to ask the people, may we sojourn through your land, we won't touch your cattle, we won't touch anything, you know, we just want to go through. If they let them, not a problem. But if they was going to say, no, you can't go through, when nothing was wrong with them going through, then the Most High said, okay, go to war with them. Because that's a wicked people. All these babies, old people, we got to go do this route because it's shorter, and y'all going to say we can't go. Then we're going to go to war to you. We're war with you. And when we go to war, what happened was they took their men and they killed the men. The women, they took those women, and they were to shave. The women were to shave their heads for 30 days and mourn for the men that they lost. 30 days so they wouldn't look attractive. They shaved their heads so they wouldn't look attractive to the men of Israel. After 30 days, you know, they've mourned. They've hopefully got it out of their system. I'm sure they're going to always be sad, but, you know, the heavy mourning is 30 days. And then they was to then go to the Israelite men, were to decide, go to them and basically ask, do you want to be a part of this family? And, I mean, do you want to be one of my wives? And if they didn't want to be one of their wives, then they just be a part of Israel, a so-called stranger. Within Israel, they was like servants. That was like a type of slavery. But check this out. Was it really slavery? They was with the Most High people. They got to eat the best of the best because the Most High laws had them eating the best. After a while, those servants got the best life possible. And I guarantee you probably all of them converted to the God of Israel because they saw this is truly a better way. That's what slavery he was talking about. Not only shackle slavery that they had in the United States where they was doing all that foolishness. Israel slavery converted and it promoted the kingdom. It promoted, somebody may say, it was about force though. Okay, it's about force, you know, that the wicked, when they are wicked, they force the righteous to be impoverished. When the wicked is in charge, they force taxes on the righteous. When the wicked is in charge, they force this, they force that. So what is it that if the righteous ruling and they come in contact with the wicked, that they enslave them, and yes, they're forced to be servants, but what did the Most High say? Treat them right. You were supposed to treat that stranger with dignity and respect. Oh, that don't sound like slavery. Man, that's the slavery that Charles is talking about. He know nothing of the history of Israel. And that's my concern with a lot of these so-called atheists. They're very arrogant and need to go somewhere and go to a Bible study. When you go to a Bible study, you learn a lot of these things, and maybe it'll change your mind. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I know it all. I don't know it all. But to me, Christianity with all of its germs, and it's got a lot of imperfections and mistranslations and a lot of things, is still enough to salvage a person's life if they're serious with all of its flaws. I thank the Most High, Andrea, for people like you. I thank the Most High for the word, even though it's not complete. I know that Bible's been tampered with, but that's probably why the Messiah said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. We are full of hope. We are not a hopeless people. As humanity, we are not without hope. We are blessed people. I don't care what they're saying on NBC, ABC, CNN. And I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about the planet. We are a blessed species of people. Human beings are very powerful. We just need the truth to come forth. We just need more shows like this to show the other side of the Most High. He is truly a loving Most High. If he was as bad as most people painted, he can just spit it and all of us disappear. You know, we like to complain. And you know what, Andrea, you sit there?
I'm here. Yep.
The people that complain the most is the folks that have the most. That is the craziest thing to figure out in life. I'll probably never understand why Americans, out of all the people on the planet, complain the most. Now, here he is, an atheist, and he lives in the United States, and I don't mean to put him down, but it's like there are people that have nothing. They live off the land. Africans, Australians, Aborigines, people live off the land. Seem like the poorest of the people, none of them are atheists. The more stuff you get, the more you become atheist.
I agree. It's part of the riddle, don't you think? Yeah, it's part of the code or the, you know, it's just part of that path, that figuring out, you know, like you were talking about revelations. It's kind of part of the riddle of life, you know. It's a big deception, really, you know. We all work so hard to have all these material things, and we build our foundations on our success and our wealth, and you know, look how great of a person I am because, you know, I'm a this or that, and I have three homes and all of these things. But you don't have God. That's a tough, tough lesson to finally learn, but there's a beautiful freeing inside of that. I hope the whole world doesn't have to lose, or at least America, as it certainly looks like we're headed in that direction, doesn't have to lose everything to find it. But gosh, if they do, it's a blessing. But
yeah,
you know, it's a
and
blessing.
I think that's
because
what
you're exactly right. Yeah, and you know, I can't say that I don't want it to happen because I don't. I mean, you know, I don't see any other way to get. I just don't see any other way for people to see the truth because it's right there. It's in our Bibles. You know how long I've had this Bible? This Bible that I started reading in the last year is my grandmother's Bible. I was scared to pick it up. I never said that. I never, you know, I didn't want, you know, it was much easier to get distracted. And, you know, I got so much more praise in the world for my, you know, foundation that I thought was a foundation, you know, focusing on my job or my success and all of these sort of things. And it's everybody's going to figure it out, I hope. I hope they do, because that's the way we're living here, at least in the United States, it's all just a big deception, you know. What's real
yeah,
is exactly
I'm,
what
I'm,
you said. What's
I'm
real is,
about
you know.
I'm thinking about the scripture, Andrea, that says when the word go out, when a word is preached, it falls among different soils, falls on the wayside, falls on stony ground, falls on good ground. One of the things that happened to the word, again, it's like a soul sowing seeds. One of the things that happened to the word was it said that the riches of this world, the person was deceived by the riches of this world, and it caused the word not to produce. I sometimes think we just have too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff the stuff start to be gods in our life, and it dethrones the Most High. When you get arrogant scientists start saying some of these things, let them go without. Let's take that $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year they make, and let's just let them live in the hood. Live. I'm talking about the hood where they can live. But maybe be, I mean, just let them live among poor people. Some kind of way. Some kind of way we all come around when we don't have everything. But when you are born with that arrogance, and I don't mean no harm, you are obviously a Caucasian woman, but it's something about white people. And I think it's because white people are better off in this country than most black people. The arrogance is among those haves, not the have-nots, but the have. Something about, and it's not a particular people, it's just this attitude that the particular people happens to have this attitude.
Yeah.
And that's the
it's
wealth.
Part of the mind control. Or the whatever, it's almost like we're indoctrinated into that, you know? You know, white people, nobody, well, they do come right out and say it, you know, often, but of course it's not said that, you know, even the poorest white person is led to believe subconsciously that they're better than any other race, you know, but they don't necessarily, nobody's going around teaching that in school or anything, although I'm sure they probably did at one point, but yes, you're exactly right, exactly right.
Right. And see, this is why, you know, you find a lot of black people, they just don't understand why, you know, Charles, but I think he has a valid reason to come on shows like this, and he should do what he did. But I'm telling you, a lot of black people,
I'm glad he can.
We had these conversations, and I'm talking about black folks that don't live worth nothing, ain't got no morals. I'm talking about, I talk with people on the jobs and people I meet, just strangers, and I'm telling you, they don't buy that atheist stuff. I don't care who, it's something about black folks. And you know, you gotta ask yourself, why is it? Because they're ungodly. They don't keep no laws. Why do they believe in God? How do they believe in God? It's just something about having a bunch of stuff, wealth. It just gets arrogant. You think the world evolves right now. I think a lot of white males. No offense, because I love all people.
Yeah.
You know that. You listen to my shows. But I think something about white males. They just feel like the world evolves around them. And that they often like to understand how things work. Like he says, scientists will go figure out creation. He's right. Those scientists will go try to figure out creation. And if they don't get find out, which they don't have no answer, they'll just make up something. And they think because
Absolutely.
They got all the DNA, the questions. Go ahead.
No, I
what
disagree. And because they're the white male, it'll be the right answer. But, you know, I'm glad Charles came, and I hope he's still listening, and I hope he comes back because, you know, it'll be the difference in his life whether he just takes that, you know, that whatever you want to call it card that gives, you know, that gives that arrogance and causes people to stop seeking. Right now he's seeking, and he obviously called in, and he's obviously brave enough to, you know, at least he's at least standing up for something, but at the same time he's questioning things, and he's, you know, I hope he's listening, and I hope he keeps seeking, because that'll be the difference between his life going down, you know, halting, or his life going down a different path, and he'll get the answers. The answers will come if he continues to seek and doesn't get stuck in that arrogance, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I can tell him right now, if he is listening, and anybody else that agree with him, a lot of his questions I can answer. I mean, because they're not hard. Like, why would God allow slavery? He didn't allow it like you think. He never allowed the kind of slavery that you're talking about. What the Most High allowed and what Israel practiced was something you probably would be glad to be a part. You probably would be glad to be their servant. You're with the number one army. Nobody could defeat Israel. You're serving the God of the Most High. They have the Ark of the Covenant. You got the most, they was the most beautiful nation, because the Israelites, men, all they did when they went into war, they took the best women. Can you imagine? We go to war, and every time we go to war, you get the best looking women. I mean, I know that's kind of corny, but I'm just saying they was a good looking people. they was wealthy, they were smart. They, the Bible says Daniel and the three wise, the ones that were in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were very wise men. The Bible says Daniel understood all things. That's a smart man. So I'm saying Israel was smart. Again, just first class nation as long as they was obedient. So I'm saying, who wouldn't want to be their servant? I mean, yeah, you might weep for your husband if you was one of those other ites that was defeated, but after a while, hey, you got to walk on the, you know, I know they weren't a part of the Red Sea thing, but I mean, you saw miracles. Those strangers got to witness miracles that this new nation that they're a part of got to see. So was it really slavery? It wasn't slavery like the United States slavery. So don't be running talking about God advocates slavery. The Most High doesn't advocate that crap that went on in the 60s, 50s, 40s. That answers one of his questions. Then he says, why is there poverty in the world? There's poverty in the world because you got people like George Bush in the world. You got, you know, greedy Republicans and greedy Democrats that is in wicked FDA and wicked people with wicked policies that's pro-America, this imperialistic spirit that goes around the world causing poverty and hunger. They're boycotting Africa.
They lack the Most High. They lack the Most High in their hearts. And the Most High gave us a beautiful planet with more than enough resources for us all. There's not a single person that should be hungry at this point, not from lack of resources from the Most High. This is a beautiful, flourishing planet. The problem is that exactly what you said, you know, the evil and the corruption, because there's a lack of, in my opinion, the Most High in the hearts of the leaders, the hearts of the people that create these systems.
Well,
but also for somebody like Charles, you know, for even, you know, for, how do I say this and make it short, for people that think that way, or, you know, certainly younger, intelligent, questioning, you know, people that have researched something such as, you know, the evolution theory, the path that we're on, and if you look at even some of the scripture, I can't quote scripture by any means like you or the stories in the Bible at all, but it seems like it's an evolution. It's evolving. It's still evolving. They're evolving to know God closer, to be, you know, it's still an evolution. And you know, when the Messiah came, when he was here and all the teachings there, that's pushing us. That's pushing us to evolve further, to know the God in us, to know the power that we have. Like you said, humans are so powerful, we'd have no idea. He pushes us to evolve. It's, you know, so in if he can grasp onto, you know, the evolution of, you know, this part of, you know, including God and the Most High and his, you know, in his thoughts of evolution as well, you know. I don't know. I'm probably not saying all that right, but.
No, you're doing a good job, and I feel you. I feel where you're going with it. And, you know, all I can say is I really wish people listened to people like Charles, and I know we got a lot of late people in here into the chat room and on the phone line because I've seen a lot of people come on that after Charles. They don't know who we're talking about. We're talking about a young white gentleman that called early. Not that his color matters, but it does play a part in the conversation. And he was talking about how he didn't believe in the Most High. He didn't believe in he was an atheist, basically. He was an atheist, and he was definitely pro-science. And we was just trying to talk to him and come in at different angles on this. And that's where we're at. This is Andrea. She's another caller calling afterwards, listens to the show a lot. But anyway, Andrea, the thing that really, really encouraged me about Charles, and I got to wrap this up because got about 5 minutes here, eight minutes. But the thing that encouraged me, it looks like the whole show is going to go this way, talking about atheism. So I'm going to have to change the show description. But thanks. I'm glad he called. I'm glad he called, because maybe that's what the Most High wants. A lot of people do have some of his questions. But, folks, the Most High did not ever advocate slavery. Here's the facts, Charles. Most High never advocated slavery like United States slavery. Never. Even though Israel was to be taken to a strange land, sold as slaves, like Deuteronomy 28 and 68 said, and this is why this show is about how I believe that the so-called African American is one of the lost tribes, because we've actually lived out these prophecies in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and other parts of the Bible as well. So, but even in all of these scriptures, it never described the slavery like we went through in America. That's why America is cursed, because they took it too far. America oppressed the Most High people. If the whites would have just stopped at bringing us over here, enslaving us, meaning we have to work for them, kept our families intact, not had sex with our women, and yes, men too, men with men. There was a lot that you don't hardly hear about that. Had they not did those things, America wouldn't be cursed, because they would have just did what the Most High told them. But yes, the Most High used Europeans to carry out the slavery that happened to African Americans. It's all in the Bible. It's there. It says you'd be taken to a strange land, sold as slaves, taken back to Egypt. This is a type of Egypt. And it wasn't just us, but there's other tribes that was taken into Africa, different parts of Africa, different parts of Australia, different parts of India, in the same manner through ships. And there's hundreds of prophecies. There ain't one or two. There's hundreds of prophecies that we live out. We're living out every one of those prophecies. You have women, but another nation you're going to allow with her. You have young men, but you won't enjoy them. They're going to be taken to captivity. Your men is going to not father their children. Lots of things. Somebody asked the Most High, how long will Israel suffer? He said, until your houses be without men. Well, African Americans' houses is notorious for being led by women. A lot of people don't know that Israel was a lot of single parents in the nation of Israel. That's why they had all the laws for widows and women without men. People don't understand that. They think Israel was this, they got a wrong understanding of who Israel was. Israel was a people very much like African Americans, very much like them. They're young men. Read Isaiah 20 and 52 and 20, I believe it is, where it talks about them standing on corners. somebody said standing on corners. Yeah, read that. That's what we're supposed to be covering tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give some scriptures really quickly. Andrea, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, but okay. stay tuned. And I thank you for hanging on the line that long and talking to me. I appreciated that.
Brother Seth, it's an honor. Thank you. It's a blessing.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, it's always good to hear from you.
Thank you. It's always good to join in. I really appreciate you, and I can't even put it into words, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Andrea. So we'll talk to her later, but that's Andrea. She stopped by quite a bit, and she is a blessing. As much as she thinks I'm a blessing, she is double that. And I mean that her comments have really been touching over the months, and so she's one of the faithful followers of Five Smooth Stone. But, folks, listen, let me give y'all some scriptures just to validate what I'm saying, because some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about when I say African Americans and so-called Israelites or Jews. Y'all thinking I've been smoking on something. Now, watch this. I want everybody in you, to write this down. I'm going to talk as fast as I can. Actually, I got 90 seconds. I'm going to have to, we got to do it another time. So let me do this. Let's play. Well, how are we going to do this? I'll tell you what. Read Deuteronomy 28 and ask yourself, who live out these blessings? And who live out these curses? I can tell you right now, no nation live out the blessings. When you start looking at the curses, you're going to, some of those curses, you're going to say, wow, he's right, African Americans do live this out. They have experiences. Wow. We are Israel. It's not just so-called black people. It's anyone that lives out the prophecies of Deuteronomy 28.
Leviticus 26, and other parts of the Bible as well. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and close the show out. Obviously, we had out had things changed around. That's okay. But I want to thank everybody for listening from the bottom of my heart. Thank y'all. Please follow the show and listen to the archives on previous Sundays where we nailed this down of how we know we Israelites, okay? We've already nailed this down, folks. Go and check out the archives, and that's how you and you'll be able to get all the scriptures that I was going to name, okay? I'm going to go ahead and play something for you, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you. Actually, before I do that, let me just do this. I want to do have to give a word from our sponsors. We have several people that support us, and I have been thinking for a while to show some love and introduce them to everybody. So we're going to go ahead and let y'all hear a word from one of our sponsors, okay? So check this out, folks.
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smoothstone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S, .com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, or so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
Purify the earth and bring forth peace.